Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Okay, blondies, as we go into spring and summer, I say this so often to the same people. Like, girl, I've already told you this. Why are we acting like this is new? No matter how pretty and icy your hair is the day you leave your appointment, if you are not using some type of purple shampoo, purple conditioner, some type of blonde maintenance, it will turn back yellow. It is not your hair specifically. It's everyone's hair.
Because here's the thing. I'm also not going to lift your hair out to perfect white. Because then there's nothing left.
I explain that to people all the time. When we are doing your highlights, our target goal, they literally teach you in beauty school, is the inside of a banana yellow.
Yep.
That is it. Hair does not pull to white. If you pull hair to white. Yellow. Yes. If you pull hair to white, you've gone too far. You have gone too far. That hair is eventually going to break.
It's gone.
Yep. And that's why overlapping bleach time after time, you can damage your hair.
You are compromising the structural integrity of your hair if you bleach it out to white.
And that's why we're going to tell you no. And even if you do bleach it to white, then your hair is going to be so damn porous, it's not going to hold that toner anyway.
Yeah. It's not going to hold anything.
But toners are demi colors. They are not meant to last for forever. No color
demi
is.
Demi means deposit only.
So that means when we take you back and we say, okay, it's time to tone, that's because your hair is that pale yellow color. So we need to put a violet on there to get you to a neutral blonde. We need to...
Or on darker bases, say you only lift to maybe a level 8, which is considered dark blonde, which is going to reveal more of a like a deeper yellow, darker gold. And so then we've got to put something on there to counteract that. To get it wherever you want to go. Whether you want to be copper, we've got to put a copper toner on. If you want to be blonde, it's usually a violet or a pearl, blue base, GI, something like that.
Next week, we will tell you about underlying pigments and what colors to use to cancel out on your hair. Whenever that sets us up for the next
but
one.
That's but. What a toner is for, is to cancel out unwanted pigment and get you where you want to be.
Putting purple shampoo on brown hair is not going to do anything.
No, it absolutely won't, nothing.
It won't touch it.
It's not potent enough for that.
No, purple is for yellow. Yellow is in blondes. So if you want your hair to look so pretty like it did the day that you left the hair salon, you will need to do maintenance because it doesn't matter if you just wash your hair once a week. You're out in the sun. You're mm-hmm. using heat products. You know, environmental damage gets to it. So that's what purple shampoo is for. You can purple over purple shampoo and yeah. turn your hair gray.
It will literally turn it like a gray, like muddy color.
And that will eventually shampoo out. But it is not just your hair that turns yellow. Everyone's hair turns yellow. Everyone's hair turns yellow.
And now listen, I have had people who lift to like a highlighter yellow. And yeah. that is abnormal. But everybody's hair lifts yellow.
And it's a faint yellow normally.
Again, inside of a banana peel.
But especially if you've been at the beach, you're probably going to need to redo your toner. So if you're a blonde, get purple shampoo, purple conditioner. Come in for toning services. I do a lot of balayage that in between their times, people will come in mm-hmm. and just get toned.
Yeah, I have a lot of like gray coverage clients who get highlights and then we don't touch up their highlights for a while. We touch up their root and then we throw a toner on the end. Mm-hmm.
My favorite purple shampoos are not shampoos, actually. It is the Kenra Intense Toning Mask, which is a really like purple blue conditioner. I like that because it works for multiple different colors. Love it. And I love the Mika conditioner too.
I am a Matrix Brass Off girly.
She is.
But unless you're like platinum. If you're really bright, then don't use that because you will be blue. But pretty much anybody under like a level 9, golden.
Yeah.
So, or if you just want it to be really, really icy, then yeah, go ahead and use that.
So yeah, blondes take a little bit of maintenance at home too. So I feel like that's something that we talk about a lot.
Ask your hairdresser what you need to use. We're going to talk about Pappygate. This is the bourbon heist of 2013 in Frankfort, Kentucky. Our story starts, however, in 1999 with Mr. Gilbert Toby Kurtzinger. Toby is working at Buffalo Trace Distillery. Got him a good little job. And he's part of, like, the adult softball league in town. Like, it's the big fucking deal.
Okay? And adult softball players are so extreme.
My brother is one.
I love it.
And so, here is where our friend Toby... Oh, sorry. Our friend Toby gets into a bit of some steroid usage. Because being part of the softball team, you end up being part of this certain gym.
Right.
Everybody's kind of like in the mix there.
Yeah.
And so Toby starts taking some steroids because what do you do to impress the other guys? You get ripped, right?
And I feel like back then steroids were much more common.
This is like the baseball steroid era.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And so... the members of this softball team in this gym kind of overlap, and there's other guys who work at the distillery. There's guys that Toby has known his whole life. There's a couple of guys on the police force that are part of this softball league and go to this gym. And so with Toby's continued steroid use, he kind of starts becoming the guy.
Okay.
If you need some steroids, you can get it from Toby.
Call Toby. Right? Yeah.
And... the way these steroids end up working is there's these guys that run it from Mexico and bring it back up, and it arrives in, like, dog vitamin packages. Toby's reputation kind of grows as being the guy you want to see if you want to get ripped. You know, he's feeling good. He's making a little side hustle off this. He's romancing it up with the softball guys. He's spending a lot of time at the gym, and he meets this girl named Julie. They fall in love, and by 01 they get married. Okay. And then kids follow right after 02 and 05, a son and a daughter respectively. And the whole time that this is going on, Toby's played softball, he's being dad, he's juicing up every now and then. So working in a distillery is like working for any other industry. You're going to end up with a bottle here or a bottle there. And apparently, Toby's not a huge bourbon or a whiskey drinker, which is fine. So he just kind of starts selling these bottles on the side with his steroids.
New age bootlegging.
Right. And so, I mean, he's getting it from work for free. It's all straight profit. It ain't taxed. He's just hustling what's given to him. This goes on for a while. And around 08, Julie tells Toby, gives him a little ultimatum. She says, listen, you either gotta pick the kids or softball.
Can't have both.
Right. And so...
because this is not paying your bills, sir.
Yeah, like this softball, is, not at all.
This is you and your friends kicking it up.
So about that, about the time that Julie says, you know, it's softball or us, like I need some more help at home. Toby, of course, picks his family. And so he's going through a little bit of an identity crisis.
Yeah.
Because he's always been the guy, you know.
Like, I can't hang out with my friends.
Right, exactly. And around this time is when he's first propositioned to get Pappy Van Winkle.
The bourbon.
Yes.
Okay. My husband's a bourbon guy.
Right. So. Now, at the time, the value of Pappy blew the fuck up overnight.
Yeah.
It went from like a normal like $60 to $100 a bottle, depending on how old it was, where you got it. Because there's like 13 year, 15 year, 20 year, and on up, right? Well, it went from like $60, $100 bucks a bottle up to like $400 a bottle. $1,000 a bottle. $4,000.
Bourbon guys are wild. Like, they'll spend money on that.
Well, and like once something gets in the mainstream, it just takes off. So Toby gets his hands on a couple of bottles of Pappy at a time, and he starts distributing them to these certain poker games around town. Now in attendance are doctors, lawyers, judges.
The people that want that bourbon.
The elite of Frankfurt. And so Toby's making money hand over fucking fist.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's feeling good about this. And he's feeling like, what's the harm? You know, like, I'm making money. Nobody's getting hurt. Nobody's come after this Pappy. It's fine, right? And then, so he's been kind of like, this lab technician points out to him that, like, They pop these bottles for tastings, and then they cap them. They don't do anything else with them.
Right.
And that's where he's been getting his bottles. Well, this other guy, Austin, who is got a pregnant girlfriend, he's low on money, he comes to Toby and he says, hey, man, what do you think if we go in and we take these display bottles in the showroom? Because they also go to the tasting room. So somebody will think, like, they just took them down for the tasting room, and then...
Yeah, my guy, but that goes from getting a free bottle at work to theft.
Well, they pull it off, and they sell these three bottles for $4,000.
Damn.
Yes, and so the demand, people kind of know, like, okay, this is the guy you go to if you want to get some bourbon, right?
I gotta see what he looks like.
Who, Toby Kurtzinger? Yeah. He looks like anybody's, like, dad, anybody's friend. The demand kind of starts to expand to other brands. Like, yes.
Yeah?
He just looks like anybody.
He is the cutest. You see this dad in,
like,
Walmart.
You would think that, like, he's at his kid's basketball game. Like, he's just a normal dude. Like,
doesn't look
the
like
the most normal of normal dudes.
Not like that man is pulling off a heist. Like,
no. He's like some crazy, like, ring man, you know?
And his wife is beautiful.
Yeah. Well, so, and you know, he's continued on. They haven't done a whole lot with the display bottles again. He's continued on just his regular, you know, normal operation. Where there's this other guy that works over at Buffalo Trace. His name's Ray Osborne. And one night he shows up at Toby's house in a fucking maintenance truck from the distillery with 80 cases of whiskey. When I say a case, that's 12 bottles. 80 cases, 80.
Oh my God.
Toby sells all of it.
I just imagine he shows up like sweating. He's like, hey, come out of the car. No, she can't come. Come out of the car. Come on.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like Ray Osborne. And death out of his mind. He's tripping balls. He is like geeked out and shows up with this. And Toby's like, you're fucking crazy, man. And Ray's like, I don't know what else to do with it. Help me. I don't know what to do.
You're the guy.
Yeah, you're the guy. You're supposed to get rid of it. And Toby's like, yeah, shit. I get it in here.
Yeah.
Sells all of it. Makes a huge profit. And at this point, between the steroids, between the bourbon, he's just stacking up money. And, like, the family recalls, like, Christmases were great.
Yeah.
Julie's got her real estate license, so she's not really paying attention to what he's doing.
If we've learned anything from doing true crime, we know when you get that amount of money, you don't just put it in the bank. So he's just got cash.
No, he's got it stacked in the safe in the house.
Nice.
And so, the kids are doing good. Everything's all good. You know, he's making a profit. He's stacking back money. They can go on beach vacations.
Yeah.
They can go, but nothing. I mean, normal PCB vacations,
right.
But They can stay wherever they want to. They can do whatever they want to.
They can live a life they've not lived before.
Exactly. And he even talks about, like, when he was growing up, he didn't have a lot. So this money meant a lot to him. He could do whatever he wanted. He can give his kids whatever they wanted. You know, Christmases were a big deal. Vacations were a big deal. Birthdays were a big deal. You know, he took care of his kids. He took care of his wife. And about the time after he sells everything with Ray Osborne, now he's talking to his friend, Sean Searcy, who works over at Wild Turkey. And Sean's like, I can get you a barrel here today. And so he starts running barrels with Sean, charging between like the market value of the barrel that Wild Turkey is getting is like between $1,200 to $1,500 a barrel. He's selling them for $5,000 a barrel.
Hold on. So he didn't steal the bottles. He took the whole fucking barrel?
Multiple barrels. He's done with bottles. He's selling barrels.
Okay. Which my husband would absolutely buy, by the way.
And now we're in 2012, okay? So we are running on 10 years,
I start saying he's had
years
time
of hustling.
To perfect this, to know who his customers are.
And Sean Searcy is one of the original softball guys.
Okay.
So he's known him. He trusts him. They both work at two separate distilleries. He's talking to Sean one day. I've sold all of this, and now I'm out of this supply. And Sean says, I got you, dog.
Yeah.
You know, cut me in a little bit and we're good.
And that's smart business-wise for him, because after 10 years, I mean, eventually you're going to get caught. So if you switch over to a different place to get your supply from.
Right. And so now he's selling barrels of Wild Turkey. And they're going for around $5,000 a barrel. But he's not stealing it. Sean Searcy is stealing it.
He's just like the middleman.
He's just selling.
Yeah.
Because he's got, again, this huge list of all these people who are buying this whiskey and bourbon from him.
Yeah.
And so, in 2013, Pappygate hits the media. What Pappygate was, the distillery reports a undetermined amount of bottles missing. They're not sure on the exact number. To this day, they still don't know the exact number. But they have full lot numbers gone. Okay. They report it to the sheriff. Sheriff comes in. And the sheriff's name is Pat Melton. And Pat Melton loves a fucking camera, let me tell you something. This man likes to be in front of the camera. And he, I mean, floods the media with everything about Pappygate. Pappy Van Winkle missing. Pappy Van Winkle sold. Pappy Heist this. Pappygate that. And so he is just having a field day in front of the media. He's convinced this has got to be an inside job, because how does this all just go missing out from under everybody's nose? There's no break-in. There's no nothing. And so they interview 110 employees. Nobody says a fucking word.
I'm not, though. I don't know why it did that. I ate breakfast.
But nobody, out of all of those interviews, nobody says a thing.
I didn't see nothing.
And so, because of that, Toby continues on in his regular operation. Because, again, he's in with the elite. He's in with the fucking, like, the mayor and shit. Like, all of these people are close to the higher-ups in town. So, he feels protected. He feels like he's fine.
Well, and at the same time.
And also, he ain't got nothing to do with Pappy. He's selling Wild Turkey.
Right. Well, and not just that. He probably has people that are higher up coming to him being like, hey, I want this, that he feels like he has to answer to. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he's like, I'm not going to tell him no. Like,
also, he's selling steroids to cops.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's like, nobody can fucking touch me. The sheriff's office, after getting nothing out of the employees, starts offering a $10,000 reward for any info. And so the leads kind of trickle in, and, you know, it's, I heard that this many cases got shipped on a truck to Louisiana or here or there or whatever. So nothing that could ever really be checked out until 2015. A text comes into, like, the tip phone about some barrels on somebody's property. Now it's anonymous. We don't know. Yeah. Quote unquote. We don't know who sent the tip in. So they send out a couple detectives to go the backside where the radio towers are. And they said as soon as they got close to the property, the wind shifted and they smell the bourbon and the barrels. And they knew. And so they got visual confirmation of the barrels. They go. They get a search warrant. And it's the Kurtzinger property. And so...
you gotta have the evidence, my dude. You can't just leave it sitting out.
Right.
Because it sounds like you pissed one person off.
Police descend on March the 11th. Julie is out, like, jogging on a run. Gets a call from her mom, who lives, like, next door to them, pretty much. And she's like, there's a lot of police at your house, Julie. And Julie's like, oh, Mom, it's nothing, because those radio towers back there, sometimes they have police come or whatever. They're doing maintenance or whatever. And so Julia comes back home after this run because she kind of just blows her mom off, continues her run, finishes, comes back home to absolute fucking chaos. There's police everywhere. The house has been torn apart. I mean, like every drawer in her bedroom had been pulled out and dumped. Everything in the living room has been tossed. The kitchen is upside down. I mean, they've searched this house already. Because
they don't care. When they're looking, they're looking.
Oh, they don't give a shit. Yeah. And her kids are there. And, like, it's a whole thing, right? And Toby's at the gym at this time. And he gets a call from one of his friends on the police force who's like,
just so you know,
hey, Toby, there's somebody here that wants to talk to you. He says, okay. Pat Melton, the sheriff, gets on the phone. He said, Toby, you need to get on home. And so Toby comes home, and of course, they surround him, ambush him, take him inside for questioning. And they know about the barrels. They tell him, we got you on the barrels. We know where you got the barrel. We know about Sean Searcy. We know where the barrel came from. All that. Do you know anything about this Pappy? And he's, I don't know nothing about Pappy, right?
Yeah.
And so Pat Melton says, listen, if you just tell me about the Pappy, I can make all of this go away.
That's how my mama used to get me as a teenager.
And so apparently, like, they think that, like, Toby hems and haws and, like, thinks about it for a second. And Julie comes over there and tells him to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Literally says, shut the fuck up.
I love it.
And so he does, and so, of course, they take him to jail. And on March 12th, so the next day, of course, Pat Melton's in front of the fucking camera. And he's got something to say about this. And so the police announced that they found 5 wild turkey barrels on his property. Toby is then released on bond that same day. And he figures out that they're trying to then blame Pappygate on him. When he's not been found with Pappy. It's just the fact that he works at Buffalo Trace,
right,
which is who distills Pappy. And so once the police gain access to Toby's phone is when he's real fucked.
Yeah.
Because all his conversations about, I can get this, I can get that, it all comes to light. They have full, basically, clairvoyance.
It's all there, right.
Yeah, it's all there. Including the officers who are on the take for the steroids.
Oh, yeah. Oop.
So everybody's in trouble.
Down, yeah.
Which, when Toby got caught, the first thing they made him do was open that safe. And so they have the steroids.
Yeah.
They have the money. And they have all of his guns. Which he bought with the money.
Right.
Now, the police officer that's involved with they resign. They're coming through. They're tailing his friends.
Yeah, because they know more people are involved.
Right. Like... and these are guys that have bought things from him, you know, whatever. Now, here's the thing. In Kentucky, there is a statute that states that anyone involved in organized crime, from the top to the bottom, can all be charged with the max for everything. Meaning, if you sold one bottle, you're still responsible for the whole fucking kit and caboodle.
It's like RICO. That's how they get you. They can get you for anything that falls under that umbrella.
Yeah. So, but this, instead of, like, RICO is only for, like, mob activity. Yeah. This fall, anything they deem organized, if you are charged with organized crime, you can be charged with everything the highest guy gets involved.
Ooh. Right?
Ooh. So that means Julie can be charged with the same thing that Toby can be charged with. Sean Searcy can be charged with everything that Toby can be charged with. If you bought a bottle from him, mm-hmm. you can be charged with everything that Toby got charged with. And so,
that sounds like that can get people talking real quick.
It sure did. Because the sentence is a 10-year sentence that people are looking at.
Yeah. Well, I love you, but sing like a canary on that.
Right. And so, to get people even more talking, they're saying, listen, if you just tell us everything that you know, you've got immunity.
Yeah.
And through these immunity interviews, we find out that a man named Greg Anglin is the one responsible for Pappygate. We still don't know how many cases this man took, because sitting down in an interview, they go, okay, you've got immunity. Go ahead and tell us everything you know. He spills the fucking beans. He said, well, yeah, I have taken some Pappy Van Winkle. Okay, how much did you take? Well, maybe I took 10 cases. Okay, is that all you took? Are you sure that's all you took? Yeah, that's all I took. All right, if you lie to me, your immunity is out the window. Well, maybe it was more like 25 or 30 cases.
You know, it's hard to remember.
You know, it could be anywhere from 50 to 60 cases.
Sir, it was a lot.
It was a lot of cases. Exactly. So, this man is responsible for Pappygate. But because he's under this immunity, guys, nothing ever ate. Zero consequences.
So he was stealing it at the same damn time? Mm-hmm. And had nothing to do with the other ones?
Zero.
What are the fucking odds? That is the worst luck that you could get. Well, I mean, not for him, right. For the other guy, but...
So, between that... But, and then there are a million other guys that, I mean, they talked to Sean Searcy. Sean Searcy says, yes, I was supplying him with these barrels. He has immunity, never charged with anything. I mean, on down the list.
Yeah.
Till eventually, Toby is blamed for Pappygate, even though they know about Greg Anglin. In 2018, Toby is sentenced to 15 years after entering a guilty plea. Julie took an Alford plea and avoids jail time. Toby serves 30 days and is released on shock probation. Which I didn't really understand what shock probation was. I guess it was like, since it was technically a nonviolent crime, I guess it was just released after the 30 days or whatever. The actual amount of stolen bourbon and whiskey, nobody knows. And Toby is the only person who has ever served jail time for Pappygate.
So he was kind of the sacrificial lamb for that.
He sure was.
Damn. That's so wild that somebody else was doing the same shit at the same time.
Oh, and if you want to see Toby, if you want to see the family and all that, it is part of a docuseries on Netflix called Heist. Look for the Pappygate. It is two parts.
We've been watching that one. I've not got to that one yet, but we've been watching that. That's wild. Well, make sure whatever your criminal enterprise isn't the same as somebody else's so you don't get pinned with their crimes.
Or maybe do and then confess to it in an immunity interview.
I mean, that's the way. And if you ever do an immunity interview, make sure they write that shit down. Get that in writing. Don't just believe them because they will lie to you.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Well, I can't wait for Yuri to hear this one. This is a good one. All right. Thanks, guys.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.